In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we've been going through the book Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. And each letter represents a aspect of prayer. R, remember the glories of God. E, examine your motives and manner. F, face life with the Scriptures. L, love God and love people. E, expect suffering and persecution. C, concern yourself with the kingdom. And T, take every opportunity. But in the next few sessions, I'd like to zoom in on Christ specifically and His way and manner of prayer. And so what I'd like to look at is seven principles of prayer from the life of Christ. You know, the Apostle John wrote in John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That is an amazing thought. And it lets us understand that what we have in the Scriptures, as much as it is still a small glimpse. The Apostle John understood the limitations of books, and as I studied the prayers of Jesus to grow in my own life of prayer, it became clear that the following seven principles I'm going to give you are by no means an exhaustive list. However, may you find them encouraging, challenging, and a wonderful guide to help you excel still more as you reflect the glory of God in prayer. So what are the principles? Let's begin with principle number one. Any time is a good time to pray. You know, Jesus never used formulas. He never had repetitious prayers when praying. He prayed often and at various times, conversing with his Father in a straightforward manner. Let me give you some examples. In Luke 5:16, we read, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Mark 1:35 tells us that now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, these Greek tenses, if you were to look at the words of praying, they emphasize that this was a customary and habitual practice of Jesus. So though we only read a few places that he prayed alone by himself, it was his habit. It was his custom. And this is a challenge for each of us. You know, Daniel always amazes me in the way he handles all the various situations. I mean, he survived four regime changes, but we learned something about Daniel that he prayed three times a day. This was his custom. This was his habit. Another aspect of any time is a good time to pray principle is that Jesus prayed at different times. Mark 1:35 mentioned the morning. Luke 5:16 doesn't mention the time, but clearly it must have been throughout the day or in the evening. Matthew 14:23, it says, "When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." So morning, evening, and Luke 6:12. "Now it came to pass in those days when he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So if you study the life of Jesus and focus on prayer, you're going to discover that he prayed all the time, sometimes evening, sometimes morning, sometimes during the day. And because Jesus prayed often, we find him praying in the dawn, during the daylight, after sunset, and sometimes all night. And regardless of the circumstances, Jesus always prayed in the Spirit, being alert with all perseverance and petition. And that's a great reminder from Paul's exhortation to us in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a challenge for us, but I also want to show you how this is achievable. If you think of prayer as simply alone in a closet, praying quietly at your bed, then you've misunderstood this command to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing is carrying a conversation throughout the day with the Lord. Now, there are times where we have formal prayer, certainly at corporate worship, small groups, small Bible studies. But what should be going on in your life is that you're praying throughout the day, that you are God conscious, that you are aware of His presence, and that you're making your requests known. If you're truly plugged into the church, then you probably are aware of the prayer list that most churches produce. You're probably aware of various lives of people in your church, the struggles they have, the sickness, the difficulties of marriages, the troubles with their kids. I mean, if you're not aware of these things in your church, how are you going to pray? And then the question is, why aren't you aware of these things? Has your heart become cold to fellow believers? You know, when we have crises, we seek others to pray for us. But when our life is in order, are we so busy that we're not seeking the Lord for them in their behalf? Have you become so cold-hearted that you're not interceding on behalf of others? Brothers and sisters, this is not a place we want to be. And the truth is, we need to be praying. Do you remember the 70 that Jesus sent out, and then there was a situation where there was a particular demon possession, and they couldn't get rid of the demon? And Jesus made this interesting comment. He says, that is not going to come out without prayer and fasting. There are those situations in the body, in the public, that a simple prayer before the Lord is going to be insufficient. There has to be prayer and fasting. And I firmly believe that there are moments. Now, I think the Lord will direct you in those moments. Of course, if you've got health issues, you probably want to talk to your doctor. Maybe you can't fast, but you can pray. But there should be, in the ebb and flow of life as a believer, there should be these moments of intense prayer. And then there should be moments of where we're seeking God's face for our own needs and seeking the face of God for others' needs. If we're just focusing ourselves, I think we're falling short and we've lost the scope that God wants us to have. And that is beyond ourselves, beyond our needs. So Jesus demonstrates this by showing us that any time is a good time to pray. Let's go to principle number two. Any place is a good place to pray. Now, the second principle of prayer is that neither people nor your location should interfere with prayer. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he found a place to pray despite the constant demands of the people. On some occasions, this required Jesus to withdraw completely from people, and that's appropriate at times. On other occasions, he withdrew with several or more disciples. So he wasn't alone, but he brought companions. And there are even times when he remained with others and prayed in their presence. He just dropped everything and started praying right there on the spot. There are times, therefore, when Jesus was alone, but the scriptures do not always mention him praying. However, because of Jesus' pattern of prayer, we can deduce he was praying in his solitude. So let's give you some ideas of how we can find a good place to pray. The first one is find solitude. This is an important aspect of our prayer life. You should have places of solitude. There should be moments where you are all alone between you and God in prayer. Now, there are several examples where Jesus withdrew to be alone and pray. For example, the temptation in the wilderness, Luke 4:1. It reads, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And we know he went into the wilderness and was praying. And during that 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. Which I think is a great reminder that all of us, if we're not praying regularly, then that is giving the devil a foothold in our life. Because now we've become kind of dull to the Spirit. We may not be on alert. And we have lost that scope that, wait a minute, I think without prayer, I can be independent of God. Because that's what can happen. When we don't pray, we're kind of saying to God, I'm good. I can handle this, and we should know better than that. We can assume that Jesus prayed throughout this temptation in the wilderness. And although scriptures do not explicitly mention prayer in this situation, we know he did. A second example would be when Christ withdrew from Galilee after the news that John the Baptist had been killed. You know, Matthew 14:1-14 gives us some insights. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they count him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her what she might ask. And you know how that story played out. Jesus knew this, and it grieved him. This is important. Do you grieve when a brother or sister is killed? Do you grieve at the loss of life of a fellow believer as they simply serve the Lord? This is a challenge for each of us. In the news, there is a situation that just happened. About a month ago, there was an incident in the country of Yap. It's a small island, micro-Indonesia, I think is the area you call it. And this young lady, who was a lawyer, decided to leave the state and go to the small country and be the attorney general. She was the only lawyer on the island. And she dedicated her time there for justice, to see that the law would be fulfilled. And it was a big case. We don't know all the details, but she was murdered. All because she's trying to serve the Lord with her gifts and talents. This was shocking news when we heard this. And our hearts go out to the family. But it's just such a great reminder to each of us. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. We have this moment right now to make a difference for Christ. And that's exactly what this young lady did. She dedicated her life to serve Christ with the gifts and talents she had. And she made such a difference that the enemy came after her. It reminds me that, boy, I wish I'd been praying more for her. But I know the Lord is going to use this in a mighty way for that nation and for the world. So pray. Go online. Look her up. Her name is Rochelle Bergeon in the country of Yap as an attorney general. Pray for that country. And pray that this life that was lived for the glory of Christ will have an impact even this day. So returning to finding solitude, we need to be alone at times with the Lord. This is necessary. Prior to Jesus' betrayal by Judas, Jesus withdrew to Mount Olives, most likely to pray alone. And regardless of the circumstances yet to take place, Jesus made it a priority to be alone in prayer with God the Father. You know, sometimes we do know of difficult situations that lie ahead of us. Those situations require for us to be alone in prayer. Don't go into those situations without not having prayed. Show the Lord, ask the Lord that you need help. Show him that you have a need. Because if you don't do this, you are running the risk of walking in there in your own strength, in your own power. And that is a recipe for failure and a recipe for disaster. And it's a recipe to miss out what God might do through you. Sometimes praying just makes us a little more sensitive and alert to the will of God. And that can sometimes be the difference of someone being saved or someone not being saved. So this week, my challenge for you, even today, maybe pull over the car, find time these next couple days to pray in solitude. Until the next time we get together, may you grow in godliness and you learn to pray in solitude for the glory of Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.